I'd get down on my knees for you. If you would only love me like you used to do, yeah. We had a love, a love, a love you don't find every day.
Probably took you a little bit off guard, didn't it? But it's a godly song. It's done by the Righteous Brothers. The question is, has the fire gone out? Have we lost that love and feeling? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Whether the fire has gone out and whether we have lost the loving feeling. If this message is true for any one of you or for all of us, then we need to hear what God's Word has to say to us today. But before we get into this church in Ephesus, I want to go back just a touch because I think it's important to lay the groundwork for this church. A little bit about what we spoke about last week in case you weren't here or in case you forgot. This message or this vision was given to the Apostle John. It was given to him on the island of Patmos, which is he was sent to in exile. The reason was they wanted to keep him quiet, take him out of circulation so he'd quit preaching the Word of God, and they sent him to this deserted, almost deserted island to die. That's why they sent him there. This vision came from Jesus. And you remember the description I gave you last week of what Jesus looked like in this vision. You know, not the Jesus that we saw on the cross, not the Jesus that we've talked about in the Gospels, but this Jesus that was dressed in a full white robe. A Jesus that had a belt around him and a Jesus that had fire in his eyes, a double-edged sword coming from his mouth, brass feet. A Jesus that was sent not in this time to save but to judge. A different kind of Jesus than what we have studied before. Jesus was standing there in a circle, and he had in the middle, there he stands with seven lampstands that represented the seven churches that we're going to be talking about over the next couple months. He also had seven stars in his hands, which represented the seven angels, or more specifically, the seven pastors of those seven churches. That's what Jesus was there to represent. And then it said that Jesus was in the midst of them all. He was in the middle of those seven actual churches. Remember, we talked about all that last week, that they were real churches with real pastors, real people. And Christ was there with the lampstand shedding light upon those seven churches. And that's what he does. He is the light of those churches. And he is our light as well. But as I was preparing for this message, this song that I had him play just kept coming to my mind. Because I love the song, for one, but most importantly, because we can all be guilty of that. We can be guilty of losing that feeling of love, that loving feeling. You see, we have to be concerned about losing that excitement that we first had when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Let's take a trip back in time. I want you to think about that moment. Do you remember the day in which you made that decision to accept Christ as your Savior? I hope so. It's a pretty important day in your life. Do you remember the times when you just couldn't get enough of church? You gave your life to Christ and you couldn't wait to get back here. You couldn't wait to come and worship again with all these people that you just met and that you loved and that you were excited about. And you had this passion about Jesus that you'd never had before. And you just couldn't serve enough. You couldn't do enough. You couldn't be around those people enough. You remember that? That's what Jesus wants us to have, that kind of passion. You might have been a person that asked some of these questions. When is the next time that you're gathering? Because I can't wait to get back here amongst the people of God. Or how can I serve? What needs to be done? What can I do? I want to do something. What do you have for me to do? You see, if you're contemplating coming to this church or being part of this church, that's a question that you should all be asking. What can I do? How can I serve? How can I be part of this body? What can I do? Or maybe you were asking the question, how do I study the Bible more? How do I read my Bible? How do I understand what it says? How do I meditate upon God's Word? How do I pray more effectively? Or maybe it's a fact of going back and remembering that day of your baptism, like we saw just a few minutes ago. Last week we had 11 baptisms. You remember when you were baptized? I do. I was probably 9 years old, but I remember it like it happened yesterday. And that's a lot of years ago. Hey. Or maybe it's the time that you now were able to take communion for the very first time. That's special. In your spiritual walk and in your spiritual journey in life, those are important times. Do you remember them? Or maybe it's, yeah, I remember that time when I loved everybody. I loved everybody in the church. I didn't have all these axes to grind or problems with this person or that person. I just loved everybody. You remember that time? So when it comes to our spiritual walk, we also have a time in our life where we remember other new beginnings, don't we? How about with our spouses? How about our relationship maybe as husband and wife? Do you remember back the days when you were just first engaged? Do you remember those times where you just couldn't get enough of that person? You called them, you talked to them, you'd see them and you'd leave them and then you'd go home and get on the phone and call them and talk for another hour. You just couldn't get enough. You couldn't be with them enough. You couldn't spend enough time with them. Then all of a sudden, you got married. And you know what happens is things change a little bit sometimes, unfortunately. We get busy, we get tied up with other things like kids, bills, problems, issues, and we start to lose that love and feeling. That happens in our married life just like it happens in our church life. Things start to set in, things start to interfere. Things start taking us in places that we don't want to go. In our spiritual walk, we remember back to that time, but then we also understand that after we've done that, we've been baptized, we've taken that communion, we start walking down this life process of being what we call a believer or a Christian, and all of a sudden stuff happens, right? Problems come our way. Issues come our way. Our schedule gets busy. Things get hard. We can't be here all the time. We lose our zeal. We're no longer inviting people to come to church with us. We're lucky to get here ourselves. And we start losing those things. We start letting that happen to our spiritual life as well. This is the dilemma that we all probably at one time or another have faced. Whether it be with our spouse, whether it be with our church, whether it be with anything in life, we sometimes lose that loving feeling. Well, this morning, we're going to take a look at this church at Ephesus. And we're going to see what happened to them. And then we're going to also understand that this same thing could happen to us. And it's something that we need to be concerned about and in prayer about. This church in Ephesus was a church with God in its midst. Remember? He was right there with them. a loving church with a great legacy. Pastors like Paul and Timothy and John were all parts of the Ephesian church at one time. How much better can it be than that? They had a great legacy. People of the church there were involved in a big way in that church. The believers, though, they loved each other. They loved God, and their light was shining around the world because of their love for God and their love for each other. We discussed last week the churches and the fact that the churches are to be the light of the world. You see, Jesus' light was shining on all seven churches, and all seven churches should be shining their light on the world that needs to hear and needs to see Jesus Christ. That's no different than it is for us today. And when a church starts to lose its first love, Christ and each other, it starts to lose its effectiveness. If we lose our light, then we no longer have any positive influence in the community that we serve. If we were no longer here as a church, we stopped. No longer next Sunday, we come in here, the place is empty. We're gone. There should be a hole left in this community because of that. The leaders of this community should be together saying, hey, what are we going to do? You know, those people, Christ was using them in great ways, and they were doing this and this, and they were helping with this ministry and that ministry, but all of a sudden they're not here anymore. What are we going to do? If that's not the case, then shame on us. Jesus was the light of these and all churches. And again, we are the church. We are the people which represents the church. And our light needs to be shining on the world we live in. So let's take a look just a moment at what the Bible says about this shining light. Let's look at Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know the old Bible story that you learned in Sunday school where it says, don't hide your light under a bushel? See, as a church and as individuals, we shouldn't be hiding our light. Our light should be shining for people to see. They need it. Trust me. We need it. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We need to keep the light of Christ shining on the world that we live in. That's our responsibility to do. So for the next few moments this morning, I want us to take a close look at this church in Ephesus, because there's a lot here for us to glean. Some things that we need to learn about that church, because it will be pertinent for us as we move forward as a church as well. Let's take a look at this church. This church was a dynamic, dedicated, determined, disciplined, discerning, but unfortunately, eventually, a declining church. They worked hard, even to the point of exhaustion. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's just not in there because it's not true. It's true. But can you imagine being so to the point where you serve so much that you're exhausted? See, every one of us have a gift. Every one of us are called to use that gift for Jesus Christ. We are all supposed to be ministers of the Word of God. Not just me, not just Pastor Jeff or Pastor Ryan. All of us. We're all ministers. We all have gifts. We're all called to serve. Unfortunately, what happens is we take those gifts sometimes and we apply them in the world and we make a living with them. And then, by the time it comes to church, we're out of energy, we're exhausted, and we can no longer serve. But what he's talking about here is just the opposite. He's saying that they serve to the point of exhaustion. So the way I look at that is we serve with everything we have here and in our community for Christ. And then if we have anything left, God says, go ahead and use it to make a living. You see the different way you look at that? And that's what he was saying. They served to the point of exhaustion. They had patience, they had perseverance, and they did not tolerate false teaching. They were a good, solid church. Man, it would be nice to be that strong of a church. But the problem is they lost their love for each other. And that changed everything. But let's take a moment and just see how God viewed the church in Ephesus. I'm going to put a picture up here. This is a picture that was given to me by Dan and Trina Evans. They were just in Ephesus last year. And that's what the church looks like today. The church in Ephesus, where John preached. Obviously, they lost their light. They were no longer effective. The church is in crumbles. It's destroyed. But you know, let's take a look at this church in the book of Revelations, verses 1 through 7. It's going to tell us exactly the vision that Christ told John. Revelation 2:1 says, this is the greeting part of it, which every one of these churches has a greeting part. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. You see, this is spoken to John and was given to this angel, the pastor of that church, in order for them to know what Jesus felt about their church. This message was given by Christ in a vision. And then he goes on and tells what the things he liked about this church at Ephesus. See, that's how Jesus works. He has things he doesn't like, but he started with all the things that he did like. And let's look at that. That's verses starts at verse 2. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Excuse me. Wouldn't that be a great definition to have as a church? If Jesus today said that about us? You see, they were a serving church. They were busy doing God's work. Their church calendar was probably jam-packed with events. Things were happening at the first church in Ephesus, right? Probably didn't call it that, but that's probably what the point's the same. That in that church, there was a lot of things going on. They were a sacrificing church. They sacrificed themselves for God. They were a church that was laboring to the point of exhaustion, like I talked about. This was a steadfast body of believers. They kept going even when the going got tough. They didn't run. They didn't cut and run when things got hard. They stayed and stuck it through. They were a church that did not tolerate false teachers, which was common in the location that they had. Because of their locations, a lot of people would come in and out of Ephesus, and they had to be careful with who came into the church and what they were teaching, and they were dead set against letting bad things come in. They examined those who wanted to come and speak and teach. And you know, we kind of have that same responsibility today as elders and leaders of this church. We have a responsibility to you to make sure that whoever stands here or teaches in our classrooms or whatever it may be, that we know what they're teaching is what we believe to be God's word, not their opinion. Because my opinion doesn't really mean much at all. The only thing that's really important is what is God's word saying. We can't change that. We cannot alter that to our convenience. But then he goes into what he doesn't like. He doesn't stop with just the positive. He talks about the negatives as well. In verse 4, he says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. You see, God saw something in that church in Ephesus that maybe a lot of other people wouldn't have seen. And that was he saw their heart. From the outside, this church looked great. But from Jesus' view, they had a heart issue. Only God can accurately evaluate and take a look at churches and their effectiveness. He has the ability to do that. Why? Because again, like I said, the church is you and me. We're the church. And he can see my heart. He knows what's in here. It doesn't care how nice the building looks. He doesn't care how many classes we have or how many small groups we have or how much attendance we have or all those other factors that we sometimes use as judging factors about how good we are or whatever. He looks deeper than that. Through those red eyes, he looks into our heart in order to see that. Remember what I said, that The church at that day, the church in Ephesus at the beginning when they started, they really loved each other. Did I tell you that? They loved each other. But then they started to have issues. Remember I talked about how that happens in our life? We start to have issues. Well, they started to have some doctrinal issues. They didn't all agree. And so there started to be some problems. And that's fine. The elders and the leaders of that church, that's their responsibility and their job to make sure that they evaluate that and keep things on track. But you know what? It needs to be done in love. We can handle issues like that a lot of different ways, and a lot of them can be not so good. But we also can handle them in a way of love. And that's what they were losing. They were losing that ability to reach out and to help people through these issues in love. The honeymoon was over. They had started to lose that loving feeling for each other. And if we're not careful, in the church today, the same thing can happen. We can get hung up on one thing or another, and we start handling it in ways that is not very kind and not very nice, and Jesus is not honored in that. And don't hear me wrong, we absolutely have to be the best we can when it comes to sound doctrine. Again, like I said, it's not our responsibility to change what the Word of God says to meet our culture, to make us feel good. But you know what? We can do all those kind of things and still love people at the same time. And if we don't, then we're going to be guilty of the same thing they were guilty of, handling problems, but not with love. We need to do what we do out of love. What we do for the Lord is important, but so is why we do it. We do it with love. We do it with pure love for God and for each other. Again, how can we say we love someone or that we love God and don't love others? They go hand in hand. God says, love me, but at the same time, he just continues on that verse and he says, love others. You can't separate them. You can't say, I love God, but then can't stand the other people around you. It doesn't work that way. You love people. We're called to do that. Ephesians 6:24 says, grace to all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ and with undying love. Love that never quits, even if we don't agree. I can guarantee you that there'll be things in life that we don't always all agree on. But that doesn't mean we stop loving. We work through those things. We continue to love each other. Verse 5 says, remember, therefore, from where you had fallen. Remember. Remember what it was like. Then he tells them what to do if they forgot. He tells them to repent and do the works you did at first. And if not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So what do we do when we're losing that first love? Whether it's as individuals or whether it's a church, and we start to lose that first love. We lose that loving feeling. What does he tell us to do? First of all, he tells us to remember. Like I said earlier, go back to that time in life. Go back to that place in life where you were a brand new believer, where you loved everything. You loved the Lord. You loved people. You loved spending time in prayer, time in Bible study, time in Bible teaching and meditation. You loved to be obedient to his word, and you were constantly looking for ways in which you could follow him and be obedient and to serve him. You love to come here on Sunday morning or whenever and worship our Lord and Savior, the King of Glory. You love that. Remember that? And if you don't, remember it. Go back in time. Remember those days that you were full of excitement, full of joy. You couldn't wait to invite your friends to come with you because you wanted them to have the same love, the same joy, the same excitement that you're having. And then he says, if not, if we don't have that, then repent. And what does the word repent mean? The word repent means stop what you're doing and change and go a different way. You're walking in one direction, and when I say I'm going to repent, it doesn't mean that I'm going to just walk slower that way or that I'm going to do this. But what it means is I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go back to remembering because that's what he's telling us to do. understand that we, if we don't have that kind of love for each other, we don't have that kind of passion and excitement, he's telling us to go back. Start over. God is clear in his word that we are to love God with all of our hearts and all of our soul, and that we are to love each other, not just our friends or people who agree with us, but everyone. There should not be anything that we have against someone to the point where it stops us to fellowship with them in a way that we need to, according to God's word. So if that's the case, then repent. Change. Change directions. Say you're sorry. Do whatever you have to do. Fix it. And then he says, go back to step one, which is repeat. Go back to having that feeling like you had when you first began. Go back to step one. Go back to that loving feeling. Go back to loving others. Jesus went on to say then another thing. He talked here in verse 6 about the Nicolaitans. And this is what he said. He said, yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The point you need to understand is he didn't say that he hated the Nicolaitans. He said he hated their works. That's important because Jesus doesn't hate people. He loves all of us, but he doesn't always love what we do. He doesn't always love our actions. This word, Nicolaitans, came from the Greek word Nicholas. Sounds like that big fat Greek wedding, doesn't it? Have you seen that show? Anybody seen Big Fat Greek Wedding 2? Where they talk about everything comes from that original Greek word, right? Let me take you back to the Greek meaning of that, no matter if it was Greek or not. They used it. Well, in this case, it did. It came from a compound of two different words. The first one was Nikos, and the second one was Laos. Nikos means to conquer or to subdue, and Laos means people. So the meaning of this Nicolaitans were a group of people who conquered and subdued other people. They were false teachers who had crept into the church to conquer the believers in Ephesus. They tried to bring into the church pagan beliefs. The church leadership hated the works that these people did. And God says, so do I. Just like us today, the leadership is responsible for what gets taught. And we take that responsibility seriously to make sure that we do our best to protect you from people who want to conquer and subdue you. And then finally, verse 7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Christ ended this message, this vision to this church in Ephesus, the same way he ends all of them, with the same words. If you look through your Bible in the other chapter, and the rest of chapter 2 and verse 3, and chapter 3, you're going to see how he addresses every one of these churches and how he ends. And he ends the same. He who has an ear, let him hear. Basically speaking, he's saying, listen up, churches. Take heed. Listen to what I have to say. And he doesn't say just, notice, he doesn't use the word church here. He uses the word churches. And this is where I'm going to inject my opinion. My opinion is on this, and what from my study and what I have learned, that the reason he uses the word church is because I believe that this message is all seven churches was going to go out to all seven churches. That they weren't, the church in Ephesus was going to hear more than just their church vision. They were going to hear all the visions for all the churches. Because you see, God knows what's going on in our church. Remember, he sees right through us. And he knows that maybe some of these things in the church in Ephesus we struggle with today, and maybe some of the things in the church of Pergamum we struggle with. Maybe in other churches we may struggle with these things. So he sends that message to everybody. We need to understand that. And Jesus also tells us that if we hear and we change, we will be granted the privilege to eat the tree of life. There's a reward for all of us. We can, through the strength of God, and only through the strength of God, conquer Satan. We can be conquerors through him and his power. So this morning, as we close, I want us to just take a close look at our own heart. No one else besides Christ can look at your heart. I can't. No one else can, but you can. You can look at what's inside of you. And I got two questions for you to ask yourself, and I have to ask myself the same two questions. First of all, have we lost our first love? Have we lost that feeling that we once had when we first accepted Christ? Have we lost that feeling of loving our brothers the way God loves us? And two, do we love each other the way Christ tells us to? So number one, have we lost our first love? Number two, have we lost that love for each other? This message to the Church of Ephesus is also a message to First Church of God in La Porte. And it's a message to all the churches within our community and all across the world. It's a message of love, a message of the light shining to the rest of the world that comes through Jesus Christ. So if you have lost that loving feeling, then he tells us to remember, repent, and repeat. So as a church, we should never lose our first love. We do not want to lose our lampstand, our impact in the world we live in. It's important that we continue to shed our light, Christ's light, on this community. God has placed you here for a reason. I don't believe you're here by mistake or by accident. I look around this room and I know a lot of your stories. I know where a lot of you come from. And I know what a lot of you have experienced in your past spiritual walk. And I know today that you are here for a particular reason. God's placed you here. God's placed me here for whatever reason. But I think one of the reasons that he's placed you here is so that you can be part of a body of believers who lets their light shine on a community who so desperately needs it. If you don't believe me, read the papers. As we lose people who we love, and as this community has lost people that we love because of things that maybe they're struggling with, struggles, we have a part to play, every one of us. So let's figure out what that part is. You see, God's gifted us all. Let's use that gift for him. So let's be using what God's given us. Let's be doing what he's told us to do. But where we start is by loving each other. And that's what he was telling the church in Ephesus, that where you went wrong was you stopped loving people. So let's don't be guilty of that. Let's love each other and let our light shine. Would you pray with me? Father God, I just thank you so much for your church. It's not my church, it's not our church, it's your church, and I thank you for it. I thank you for your love that you have demonstrated in all of our lives by the forgiveness of sin. Lord God, I thank you so much for this book of Revelation, and I pray, Lord, that as we go through these seven churches, that as we try to take a close look at what you saw in these churches, both good and bad, I pray, Lord, that we will take the good and try to be like that, and that we will take the bad things and try to learn from those. I pray, Lord God, so much that we can be the light in this community. I know for a fact, Lord, that if we loved you the way we first loved you, that this place would be standing room only every single week. But Lord, some of us have lost our love. We've lost our passion. We've lost that loving feeling. Or we get hung up on all kinds of stuff that doesn't really matter, and we stop loving people. And Lord, if we're going to grow as a body of believers, if we're going to be an impact in this community, we have to start with loving each other. So let us do that. As we leave this place today, let us figure out how we can better love each other and how we can better love you. In your name I pray.